Today is the 16th of December, 2019. It means it is the 18th of Kislev, Tavshin Pei. We are up to Meforshim Day of the 7th Parak here. And we open up with this idea, right? Hashem is going to bring us into the land that we're going to inherit. V'nashal goyim rabim v'nechei. He's going to cast out all the non-Jews from in front of us. He lists all these the nations who are mightier than you, and Hashem will place them into your hands. And you will have to destroy them. Don't have any mercy on them. So, and also lo tischatin bam is the next. In Pasuk Gimel it says, and you should not have any. I could have done that also. Lo tachanim. There's a mitzvah of lo tachanim. And maybe we'll save. Actually, maybe that will be before Shem day tomorrow. Halacha day tomorrow. But lo tischatin bam. So it does appear on the page, even though in the classic Mikros Gedolos. The Rambam is not mentioned in this edition of the Mikra Kedolos, so it gives you the Likutei Biurei HaMitzvos Mei Rambam. Anytime there's a mitzvah, so it gives you the Rambam's interpretation of that mitzvah. So right off the bat, Rashi he says here in Pasuk Gimel about not intermarrying. So Lo Tischatin Bam, it sounds like don't intermarry with them. The only referring specifically to those members of the seven nations. So the Rambam says no, Yisrael Shabal Nachris. That a Jew who has relations with a non-Jew, Mishar Umos, from the other nations, Derech Ishus, in the way of marriage, O Yisrael is Shenivala Lenachri Derech Ishus, or a Jewish female that has relations with a Jewish male. With a non-Jewish male, Hare Elu Lokim Me'atoris. They are in violation of this Isser Dorais. I mean, the Rambam interprets this as, is that across the board, that is considered an Isser Dorais. And if you have, what he said was, Bia, where was it? Derech Ishos, right? Only in the way of marriage, though. That if they, and even it says explicitly, Echad Shiva Amim ve'Echad Kol Umos B'Isser Zeh. We include the seven nations, and all the other nations as well are included in this prohibition. But he explicitly says only if it's Derech Ishos, if it's relations for the purpose of marriage or in the form of marriage. Sounds like you can have relations not in the form of marriage. And that's what he says in the next line. He says, V'lo asr Torah el derech chasnus. The Torah, really, the Torah itself only prohibits it in the way of chasnus, in the form of marriage. V'al haba al hanachris derech nus. But if you're just having an improper relationship, makin uso makus mardus mediri sofrim. So he will get makus from makus mardus. What's makus mardus? Makus mardus is makus derabanan. I mean, essentially, that the rabbis have the right to do what they need to do in order to see fit in order to maintain law and order. And we'll see a little bit more about that a little bit later from the Ramban. So that's what they have the right to enact that. But this, at least according to the Rambam, this is clearly a prohibition of intermarriage. That's a Isser D'oraisa. Not all the Rishonim agree to the Rambam on this. And I think we gave it Halacha Day Shir on that. I think Parshas Bala, the end of Parshas Balak in Bamidbar. Yeah.
The question: the difference between Nachri and Goy in the blessings in the morning.
Yeah.
I was looking at a sitter and it said Nachri.
Was that the Vilna sitter or the Gruss sitter?
It was neither one.
Okay. Yeah, there's a text of it that says Nachri.
It said Nachri. Is there a subtle difference in the meaning?
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure there is. But I don't have a. I don't know offhand. Yeah, you.
Yeah. Are these nations, these seven nations, who are they now?
Mixed.
We don't know.
We assume that they're mixed in with everyone else. So and therefore these all the prohibitions that are specifically related to specific people. So we assume that Sancheiriv, who was one of the Babylonian kings, I believe, came into and mixed everybody together. That was his method of messing everyone up, including the Jewish people, right? So the idea that there is the lost tribes, that we attribute that to Sancheiriv mixing everybody together. So therefore, and he left, and the Jewish people that he left intact were. Well, it's a machlokas. We hold that it's us, and the black Hebrews hold that it's them, right? But we assume that it's us, that are made up of a few tribes. The tradition is that it's Yehuda, part of the tribe of Benjamin, and the Levites. In reality, I just from learning Ezra and Nehemiah, I don't think that it's so precise. as there is assumptions that later on that there are people from other tribes that are part of the Jewish people. It wasn't so precise done in that way, but that's like the tradition we have, is that we're mostly, if not all, from the tribe of Yehuda and from the tribe of Binyamin. And then there are these sects that all of a sudden get discovered over the years, like in Ethiopia and India, and they claim that they might be from specific tribes. So it's always interesting when that happens, I guess. We'll say. What? Right, the Levites, yeah. Right.
Rabbi, is Be'er, does that acquire a wife in the...
Who? What?
Be'er, having relations with a woman.
Yeah.
Does that acquire a wife?
So, I mean, it's one of our forms of acquiring a wife. The way, if you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, the first parak of Hilchos Ishus, he spells out the way it used to be, is blah, 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 and then, you know, we have this idea of Kedushin explicitly. So we assume that the way it used to be applies to non-Jews. Right? They do have marriage, so it's, right, in fact, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is they're not allowed to have, you know, affairs. Right? So that only works if they actually have a marriage that we recognize. So we do have a marriage that they recognize. In fact, I don't think... Actually, no, I have. I had a little slightly different. But I remember a friend of mine telling me, who was a rabbi of another congregation, in Pennsylvania, actually, that he got a call saying, "Hi, Rabbi, we'd like you to be our... you know, to officiate our marriage." And he starts to ask, like, you know, "What synagogue are you affiliated with?" "Oh, we're not affiliated." "You know, were you ever affiliated? Are your parents Jewish?" "No, our parents aren't Jewish." "Are you Jewish?" "No, we're not." "So why are you calling me to officiate your marriage?" He said, "Well, Rabbi, to be honest, we're Noachites. We have no interest in converting to Judaism, but we do believe in the Jewish faith, and we believe in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and we want to get married. So who should we turn to get us to officiate our marriage, right? Who should oversee that?" So I'm not sure what the end of that. I don't think he ever actually ended up doing it for them. But I had a similar situation in that I had a couple that moved to Phoenix to get a conversion. They wanted an Orthodox conversion. They were living in a smaller community someplace else, and they came to Phoenix in order to convert. But this was a couple, like in their 20s, like 26 and 25, something like that.
Married.
They were, they were married, they were together, right? And they were living in the same apartment. So I think we did some kind of ceremony to say, like, "You hereby married," right? You know, not so much that you're has a halachic, well, it does have a halachic recognition, but that you will be recognized as non-Jewish man and wife. Right? The truth is, they had that before they came to me. But we saw that they should, that was one of the things we discussed. I mean, you should, if you're going to be living together, you should be married, whether you're Jewish or whether you're not Jewish, right? Okay. So, anyway, so that's issue number one. Issue number two, as we turn to Pasuk, so the Pasuk 6 to through 8 discusses the idea of the Am HaNivchar, that the Jewish people are chosen. Ki am kadosh atel Hashem Elokecha, you are sanctified nation for Hashem, b'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha yosol yam sugla, that you have been chosen by Hashem in order to be the, chosen nation from all the other nations, asher al pnei hadlama, which exist on the land. So what does that mean, that we are chosen? So this is, of course, one of the famous spots that we get challenged on. What do you mean you're the chosen nation? So Rashi says... Whatever. There's a lot of snarky answers you can give, but what does the Ramban say? He says, "She'ein l'cha katzin shoter Moshe b'chol malchei mayla." Right? Well, this means that you don't have a captain, ruler, or officer among any of the malachim. Aval at sugula Hashem tachas yado. But rather, you are specifically under the control of Hashem. That you have the idea of particular, specific hashkacha pratis that's coming from Hashem. Therefore, you shouldn't be doing any avodah zara. I already talked about this many times. Now, what's the implication that the Ramban is? That sounds like if you're not the chosen nation, you shouldn't be doing avodah zara, right? What is that? That's what the Ramban seems to say. Because you have a direct entry to God, so don't do avodah zara. Well, what if you don't? I mean, what if you're not Jewish?
So
I think we did this here. This is one of the Rambans, that's Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban holds that there actually are other beings out there, not really avodah zarah. It's not the same as bowing down to an idol, is assuming that there is some sort of entity out there, whatever that means, that corresponds to you. So Ramban holds that. it's just the Jewish people aren't, and they have power. Just the Jewish people aren't allowed to go after them, right? The Jewish people have to follow Hashem, Hashem itself. This is what it means that you're not more than the other people. That would be more fitting that there be the most numerous nation be the nation of the king. Right, the pasuk tells us that we the glory of the king is in the multitudes of people. And he'll appoint these officers to be heads of the other lesser people. V'yatem ha-ma'at, but you, the fewest of all people, the af al-pi came, but even so, ki chashek Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'Hashem. Hashem became bound up with you, and he chose you. Right? So that's what it means that you were, And what does it mean v'yivchar b'chem? What does it mean that you were chosen pasuk ches? So v'amar atam, he saw you as a better choice than everyone else. Now, at this point, Moshe only doesn't give any reason other than that you were chosen. I mean, why is it that you're more special? Because you were chosen. Well, why we were chosen? So, ki nivchar lo oev hayudea lispos ava. So here it says a little bit more. B'chol haba lavimen. For what the one chosen to be beloved is the one who knows to bear with the one who loves him, no matter what befalls him. Yes, it is because we were chosen, not because we were great, but that we were stick with Hashem. V'Yisrael ru'uyim l'kach mekol amin. Yisrael were the most fit of all these people. Kol she'amra, as the pasuk says, shalusha azim heim Yisrael be'umas. There are three things that are considered tenacious, and one of them is the Jews amongst the non-Jews. Ki yamdu lo b'nisyonos o yudi olotzo. Was they able to stand up to their trials and say, either I live or I will be hung. I mean, we're willing to stand up on our principles, and that's why, at least according to this pasuk, that we were chosen. Okay. Okay. So the pasuk then continues. V'yadata, right? Because it's from for you, Hashem etc. The pasuk says, "V'yadata ki Hashem lekech elokim," and you will therefore know that Hashem your God is the God, Hakel Neman Shemer, and the trustworthy God. So what's going on in this pasuk that you will know? So the Rashbam says, "Kolomar v'shema tomru," lest you say, "Hol v'nishbal avosena seis lanu es haaretz lama hutzrechanu lishbar mitzvosav." He says, "Wait a second, lest you say that, well, Hashem made this promise to us. We're supposed to get the land. We get the land, no matter what, even if we're not keeping the mitzvos. He yase mashiv tiach mikol makom. That Hashem has to do what He promised." Alzos ani meshiv lechem. So I'm answering you, kim lo tishmu mitzvosav lo tishru es haaretz. That if you don't keep the land, you don't you're not going to inherit the land. V'hulo yavor al shvoso, and God has an exemption; He will not be violating His promise. Kizuki midosav shomer umamtin habris v'acheset shenishbal avos l'kayim ashiv tichan ad elef dor le'oso dor she'ovav v'shomri mitzvosav, and He's going to save the gift and the present of Eretz Yisrael for those people that are ready to do what they're supposed to do. Right, so the gift will still be out there. We're just going to wait for you to behave yourself. So and how else will you know? So you'll know because Hashem will take care of you. And the pasuk yod is u'mishalem l'sonav el panav l'avido, that He will repay those that hate Him. So you'll part of how we see that Hashem is doing what He's supposed to do, or. Part of what we'll see about the truth of God is that He repays, that He rewards those who serve Him, and He repays those that don't. The problem is, we don't always see that. Right? The problem is, we still have a question out there of Rasha v'tov lo tzadik v'ralo, that there are evil people that Hashem is good to, and tzadikim, and righteous people that Hashem seems to not be good to. So how do we deal with that? So the Ramban says, v'midazo shehiska emes li'olam. This is true. That afa pishish Rasha marich baraso, that even though the Rasha might be long in his evilness, It's only because it's only coming. The reason how that's working is because Hashem also was Baal Chesed. And perhaps he did something good to which God needs to repay. So Hashem really only has two characteristics. That Hashem, there's really only two choices. You'll be repaid good for the good things you do. You'll be repaid bad for the bad things you do. Now, it could be those that hate Hashem shouldn't get any schus at all, as the Pasuk says, or as we learn, not the Pasuk, but the Medrash in Kohelet says, Amar Rabbi Yishai, Mifnei Shlosh Dvar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Marach HaPayim L'Rishayim Yilol Mazeh. That there might be three reasons, though, that Hashem will still lengthen the days of Rishayim in this world. A, Shema Yasu Tshuva, maybe they will repent. Two, O Asu Mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishayim Yitzchar Yilol Mazeh, that they did something good which Hashem is repaying them. O Shema Yatsu Mi'an Tzadikim, or perhaps there are Tzadikim that are going to come from them. Shekach, Matzinu Sh'arach HaPayim L'Achaz V'Yatsu Mi'menu Chizkiyah, V'gam L'Amun V'Yatsu Mi'menu Yishayah, V'gam L'Shim V'Yatsu Mi'menu Mordechai, that we have these three examples of Rishayim that Hashem could have cut down earlier, but instead he kept them alive in order so that they will have their children, which ends up being Tzadikim, the names of them being Chizkiyah, Yishayahu, and Mordechai, right? So those are all results of Hashem holding out on his anger for those people that were evil. The Shrono adds, I think, one more reason here. Yeah.
Mordechai was evil?
No. That Mordechai is Zeta. Shimi. I don't remember who that was. I'm not sure who that referring to. But V'yatsi ben Mordechai came from there. The Shrono adds one more idea of Zuchus Avos, that it could have merits through his parents or, you know, his predecessors. Is that a word that he used for...
Your parents and your ancestors.
That he will have merits through his ancestors that that perhaps could sustain. Okay, so that I think gets us to the end of Parshas Vaaschanan. And now we can move into Akev. So there is a very interesting Ramban here, very interesting comment that the Ramban makes here in Pasuk Yud Beis. So in verse 12 it says, V'ya'ikev tishmun, you will listen. Rashi comments here in mitzvos hakalos that if you even listen to the smaller mitzvos, adam dash ba'akvav, that a person often threshes, that a person often pushes down with their ankle. What would be an example of a mitzvah kal? So, it's on the page of if you have the Torah's Chaim. There's a Chumash that came out in the last 30, 40 years or so from Masada Rav Kook that has, it's like a Mikras Gedolos, most of the Mikras Gedolos, and has footnotes on them. So one of the footnotes to, what's an example of a mitzvah kala, to quote one of the Rishonim, I think a Maharik, one of those Rishonim that comments, speaking Lashon HaKodesh, speaking Hebrew. So that's what people use as a source for the idea of constantly speaking in Hebrew. So that's one idea that's out there of being a mitzvah kal that could keep track of the light, even if you do, the lighter mitzvahs, don't push them aside as being unimportant. But these mishpatim. So what are these mishpatim? What's going on here? So the Ramban says, lahazir ba'od b'mishpatim. Be very careful about the mishpatim. How do we translate that? Do you guys have any translation of the mishpatim in Pasuk Yud Beis? What do we have?
Ordinances.
Another one? From the Arts, what does it say in the Stone Chumash?
Ordinances also.
Ordinances. Wow, interesting. So the way the Ramban seems to understand it is judgments, as we're going to see. Be careful about your judgments. In fact, in the Ramban Art School Chumash, so in the Rashi Chumash and the Ramban, Chumash, they don't translate the same way as they do in the Stone Chumash. Because they stick in Rashi and the Ramban's Pshat, right? They translate according to the way Rashi and the Ramban would translate. Right? So it's not going to be the same. The bigger mystery, though, is why the Stone Chumash and the Stone Tanakh don't correspond and have the same translation. That I've never quite got that. But that does explain discrepancies in the translation that appears in the various Chumashim. So here, I want to check, it translates it as judgment. So the Ramban explains, be very careful with your judgments. Why? Kiloya, this is like another one of these interesting statements like we had in the last one. The last parak we had this statement that the Ramban made, when it says, Asisa Yashar Vatov, do what is right and what is good, the Ramban makes a comment, well, it would be impossible for the Torah to say every possible thing that a person must do in under any circumstance, which I pointed out is like, you know, it takes a lot of guts for somebody to say anything is impossible when it comes to the Torah or comes to Hashem. But anyways, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Ravan meant it in that way, but that is what he said. Ef shar, not possible. So here he says, Kilo ye amrav kalu nizar b'mitzvos kulan sholu yechdu behem klal. Now this is a little, only slightly less out there. He says it's not possible that such a large nation would be able to be careful in all the mitzvos and not sin with any of them. Like, possible, right? But okay, that's where the Ramban seems to understand that. Well, if you have this really big, large nation, so for those tuning in to listen to Rabbi Greenspan, I think he is ill today, so sorry, you got me. We're in the seventh, a couple people are on the screen here. We're in the seventh parak of Devarim, for those that are interested. We just started Parshas Eka. So Ramban says, Rak mishpatim yamidu et Torah, kosh nemar behen, v'cho Yisrael yishvu v'yiro. So the... as the pasuk says, that all of the Jewish people will listen and will fear Hashem. But oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the three key words. Rak b'mishpatim yamidu b'torah. The Ramban says, yes, it will be impossible for all the Jewish people to keep the Torah. So how do we make it that the Jewish people are keeping the Torah? That if they have proper mishpatim, what are mishpatim? So the way the Ramban translates it is judgments, right? That if the Beis Din is operating as it should, the Sanhedrin is operating as it should, so, yeah, it's true, people may mess up every once in a while, but that will be regulated, that will be overseen, not necessarily that they'll be punished, but you see, with the Jewish people stand for mitzvahs, the Jewish people stand for Torah, right, and that's really what we're looking for, not that people aren't going to mess up, but that the society stands for perfection, the society stands for doing what is right, and that will be evident through the appearance of the proper batei din, through the proper way that judgments are carried out. For those that are interested, this previous week, not this last week, the previous week headlines, was the second edition of issues having to do with batei din, of Beis Dins in America, of the way litigation is done in the Jewish court system, the way in America and in Israel. In fact, our community's own Rabbi Ephraim Goldfein was interviewed. You guys know Rick Goldfein?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was interviewed for this podcast. He gives his opinion on how to... he's a lawyer, and he's also acted as a toin. One of the topics is what's called toin. If one goes to Dine Torah, sometimes these Dine Torah could be dealing with tens of millions of dollars. Like, it could be real estate deals, things like that. So they could often hire someone named the toin, but some of these guys are not the best people. You know, these are like... you can bring up any possible kid, they'll intimidate people and that kind of stuff. So anyways, you listen to the podcast, interesting, but this is an interesting Ramban here. Make sure the judgments are set, because people aren't always going to be perfect, as they say to people that complain about what other Jews are doing to them. While God may be perfect, his people aren't. But yet we have the ability to stand up and say, but we're going to have our mishpatim, we're going to have our judgments in the right order. But Odi adds in, ki rabim yirachmu miliskol ha'ish v'lisrof. He also adds in that many people, we would have rachmanus, be nervous from doing skila to people, or to burn them. I mean, doing the dalam misos beistin is a hard thing to do. Right? Especially when it's been, in a way, when things are ben adam l'makom, when things are between person and Hashem, right? What business do we have whether that person observed this or not? So it is our responsibility. That's not necessarily, we're not throwing people off cliffs these days for various violations, but it is our responsibility, it's our collective responsibility to make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to do. Don't have these rachmanas. But Ode, also Shiru min hatakifos, you will be afraid of strong people, umin hamatim, and those people that, that's a good way of translating matim, matim, misleaders, who have popular support. I mean, don't be intimidated. You have to go and carry out the halacha as is appropriate. For Hiska Kol Eila B'Mesis, this is all mentioned by the Mesis, the person who entices. Don't be afraid of him. Go after him and make sure that he's put in his place, which in the case of the Mesis is several feet under the ground. Okay. What else do we got? I don't know how long I'm supposed to be going for today.
11 o'clock.
What?
11:30.
You gotta go. Oh, someone else coming?
I mean, I'm almost done. No,
you can continue on.
Go a little bit more. Okay, so.
There's no other time.
There's nobody behind you.
You're finished.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
You
have it.
So, whenever I let you go, that means we're stopping to learn.
Correct.
That's
oh,
right.
Man.
You have to continue on.
All right, all day. Let's go. So, you could all prepare my shir for tonight together. Tonight's Shulchan Aruch shir in Beth Medrash is on the topic of accepting tzedakah from non-Jews. It's not a simple topic. Anybody wants 8:15 tonight, Shulchan Aruch shir. We're up to Simon Reish Nun Dalad, I think. Reish Samach Dalad. I think Reish Nun Dalad. In Yerdeya, the topic of which has a lot of effect, in it's brought up with the very, in Israel, that a lot of money is coming from these, yeah, from Christian groups. So how is that acceptable? Sometimes it's acceptable for some things, not for other things. What is the deal with that? Okay. So a couple of other comments here then. So in Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says, V'yachaltam es kol amim, asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lach, that you will consume all these other nations, will devour all the other people that Hashem will deliver to you. So Sforno comments, don't have any rachmanis on them. So Sforno ki onam heyos achas alehem yelachal mokesh sheivtoch. That realize that if you do have rachmanis on them, it's going to ultimately ensnare you. Meaning, even though it is a challenging mitzvah, it really is a challenging mitzvah that we are being commanded over the course of these prakim, specifically here about don't have any rachmanis on these people and kill them because it's your land. Right? It takes an incredible amount of emuna to follow through on that type of mitzvah, which like we. You know, when you hear people say things like, well, our generation isn't ready for something, usually having to do with conquering Eretz Yisrael and stuff, this is what we mean. That it takes a tremendous amount of emunah to say that we're right and we demand the land and that which is entitled to us. So the Sforno then makes another comment, Kitomar Ichaluchalo Horisham. The next one, if we say, how can are we ever going to be able to conquer them? They're so much more than us. Don't be afraid. So it says the Sforno, Kishatomar Icha Uchalo Horisham Biyosarabi Mena. How can we conquer them? They're so much more than me. Lo Tomar Zalderech Shatir Mehem. Don't say this in a way that you're afraid of them. Elder Shatakish Zaya Nimna Lule Hashem Shiela. Say it in a way that we will not be able to conquer them if not for the fact that Hashem was with us. He doesn't say, oh, how are we going to conquer them? It's impossible. Let's give up. It's, no, it would be very challenging. We wouldn't be able to if not for the fact that Hashem is helping us. But it's a good thing that He is, right? And therefore, we'll be able to conquer these lands. That's what it means in the next pasuk of remember what Hashem did for you when you were leaving Egypt, that they're also greater than you. And yet Hashem gave them into your hands. Also, the one final thing here that says that we're not going to kill them too quickly because Hashem doesn't want the wild animals to come and take over the land. So the Ramban says, Yaftiach Hashem Yachrisem Kulam, that Hashem will destroy all of them. V'yishalach behem es hatzira lahavid hanishar minishar v'hine kulam yovedu. And He will send upon them the... let's see, right, how do we translate that? And He will send something to annihilate them. There it is. And He will send among them these hornet swarm in order to cause the survivors and the hidden ones in order to die. And they will all perish. But it says that it's not all going to be in one day. It's not going to drive them away even for a year because He doesn't want the land to be desolate and for all the other animals to come. So why can't we just say, well, let the animals come and the animals will run away? I mean, if Hashem can protect us from these non-Jews, Hashem can protect us from the lions and bears also. It says, it also gives one more promise that it's not going to be the majority of these people anymore. mehuma gedola. Hashem is going to cause some great confusion. Verubam yuvedu mehar biyad Yisrael is going to cause, and they're going to quickly die for the hand of the Jews. V'chein amar hu yashmidim hu yachliyim lefenech v'rishim v'adatem maher. That's what the pasuk explains. He will destroy them. He will humble them. He will drive them out. Yovdu mahar maher rubam lo sheyichlu. Most of them will die quickly. But not that they will be completely destroyed. Ad asher tifre v'nachlas es ha'aretz. Until you become fruitful and you make your land, then you'll be able to destroy all these people. The Ramban did have a comment someplace here about the beasts. Ah, there it is. That it?
Pentim. On the hornets?
No, with regards to the beasts. Yeah, he continues on. Rashi says, pen yarbe alem chayas ha'sadeh. Lest the beasts are going to come to you. But if you're doing the right thing, so you shouldn't be afraid of the beasts. You shouldn't be afraid of the animals. Pasuk says in Eov that you have some kind of treaty with the stones and with the beasts in the field that they're going to have peace with you. But rather it means that they are going to sin. Now, and there will be this issue. Now, it means while they're conquering the land, they're going to sin. I'm not sure what exactly that was referring to. But anyways, that the, part of the kindness of Hashem is not just that, oh, well, the people got out and it was empty and stuck, but rather part of the kindness is that it was a bit of a challenge, but that ultimately was for our benefit, and that we were able to conquer a land that, as the previous parak says, Malayim Koltuv, that was filled with all good things and was not inhabited by lions, tigers, and worst of all, dogs. All right, have a good day. We'll stop here and pick up tomorrow.